station.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
They can. What time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Don't get on my nerves again. I'm very prickly right now.
Really?
I'm prickly and I'm proud of it.
Really?
Jeff Lutz.
Just because you got proven wrong, you don't get to go double back. Shut up. What a show I've had.
Wow, that's something.
And Jason Duda, for today anyway.
I'm just curious. I'm curious to see what's going on. That's all.
You can be replaced, Chicky Baby.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Hello again, everybody. Here we are with the three-man booth on a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show. Jason Duda in with us. We are at the Leslie Rudd Learning Center, crammed in here to a very nice studio. How you been, Duda?
Not bad. How about yourself?
Haven't seen you for a couple days since my excursion out to Mays.
Did you talk about it yesterday?
Your mic needs to be turned on.
Turn your mic on.
It's on
now. These are
now.
Little things you need to check.
Well, you
little
stick
things.
Me in a different area.
On the air.
I get confused very easily. I'm still a little rattled that I saw you at a soccer game.
Isn't that crazy? And he left at halftime?
He did leave at halftime, but he showed up.
That's true.
There you go.
I was hoping you'd see the glass half empty like we usually
and
do.
And as soon as we walked in, we got right to the corner of the field. My son happened to be down there with the ball and just started to giggle. 7 years in his head, he thought, and the guy finally shows up.
Well, I saw him score a goal.
You did.
So, I mean, what else can I do? I mean, I've done everything I can do. I'm certainly not going up to Salina today to watch that game.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to either since I'm here working.
Unfortunately, that's very unfortunate.
It is the last game. It'll determine where they go for regionals.
The varsity.
Varsity team.
Are we going to get on the varsity here?
He's playing the varsity.
He got his jersey, so he played the first game. He played not last night or Tuesday night. There was a 1-1. Mays ended up winning 2-1 in overtime. But he played the Thursday before. So it was good. He got in, and he was pretty pumped about
Who's
it.
Who's the coach over at Mays?
Brett Womack.
Now, the way I understand it from doing a little digging and research, they're potentially headed to Liberal for regional play.
That's what I've been told.
That's not good.
It depends on how they finish tonight. I think if they win or tie tonight, they don't go to Liberal, then they'll end up going somewhere else.
Well, that'll be a fun little jaunt out to Liberal for you. I would guess you've never been to Liberal.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. It'd be great. Hopefully there's nothing. Well, no, you know what?
You just thought of this.
Unfortunately, Tuesday is Avery, my senior's year-end banquet, so we can't miss that because she's a senior.
That's a parent thing?
Yeah, we go.
Well, one parent goes to the banquet, one goes to Liberal.
I mean, you would think that'd be the solution.
Now he's getting serious.
Neither one of us are going to. We love our son, but
why did Jeff and I do this?
It's Avery's. She's a senior. This is her last thing. This is it.
I remember I had a similar thing when I was a senior. We had the end of the year banquet, and I don't have an example. That flamed out.
Yeah, you did. That was terrible.
Oh, well.
That's okay.
That's where we are. We're going to make some picks later in the show with Anthony. Duda still in second place. Jeff, kind of, he's 30 points up on you and 33
that's
points
it.
Up on me. And
wait, what? You're that close to second?
Yeah.
What? Let me see if Max's numbers bear that out.
No, Max doesn't have a clue. He'll pick the Vegas Raiders again this week. I might be a little farther behind, up 3 or 7, something like that. But I'm right there, except that Jeff's up 30.
30.
Jeff has 176
Max, I have 179.
Points. 176.
No, Max,
Jeff.
I'm the official scorer.
What
you
think.
Point out in points doesn't matter. It's
you
a waste
have
of your breath.
145. Jason has 113.
I have more than
what?
113.
He has 150.
153, sorry.
You don't have a clue either. I am the official score.
No, it just looks like a 1.
Picks.
But it's barely a 5.
Those are a lot closer, though. We might need to use those ones.
I am the official score.
We know.
For the pick.
Oh, we know. Trust us. We understand.
There's no argument.
But who's the correct score? That's the person we need we need to hire.
I did him on a calculator.
Maybe we
yesterday.
Should hire a like one of those guys with a briefcase.
Max, you made so many mistakes in the past.
To carry the points
you
around
have my ducks.
In a locked
you didn't even
box
have my ducks
every week.
2 weeks ago.
So Bob. No one really has access to them?
I didn't correct you.
People, what are you talking about?
Two people have to carry a key to open it together.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Duda gets what I'm saying. I'm sorry that you didn't listen, but I'm not going to...
What did you say?
I'm not going to go over it again.
It was a blithering idiot talking is all... I heard. I don't even know what you were talking about.
I understood it.
Duda gets it.
I'm with Jeff.
It's like carrying the results of the Oscars around, basically. Like, you're not going to let anybody see them until it's the moment to reveal.
Yeah, they still get them wrong.
Exactly. Sometimes people still read them wrong. But you don't have enough clout. You are not responsible enough to add up these totals. I think it's time we maybe hired somebody for this position.
No, we're not hiring anybody for
as
the
a full-time
position.
Position.
I do the pick.
Maybe we can add... hours to Jacqueline's tally.
And we have 9 games on the docket today. The NBA is still going. I want to mention two names, and I want your immediate reaction. Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid.
Don't really like Kawhi. I like Joel Embiid.
They miss a lot of games.
Sure.
They don't answer the bell.
7-4.
They don't answer the bell.
A lot of 7-4 guys miss a lot of games.
No, they don't.
Sure they do. Name
another. Kareem.
He was like 7-1 or 7 feet.
Oh, my God. Oh, now really? That's where you're going? Yeah, he was only 7-2.
No, he's 7-1 or 7.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
7-4? Do you know how much pain you have to be in? And Kareem could barely walk for the last 15 years of his career. He played for like 60. Let me throw my goggles
on. Why do you have
to
exaggerate to the point of not even being relevant?
Oh, that's never. We've never done that on this show
before. I don't do that. I talk in serious tones. Anyway, what about Kawhi Leonard? What's his excuse?
Got a bad knee, I guess. It's a knee that won't heal for whatever reason. It's not going to, it's just a bad knee.
Then shouldn't be playing.
He does his best. I mean, what do you, that's what I'm talking about. We look at things half empty. And I'm not saying Kawhi
are
should
now,
be.
Are you now, Mr. Optimist?
I'm not saying Kawhi should be celebrated, but. Who even knows the work that he puts in to even be on the court at all, anytime? I bet it's pretty painful.
You heard
and
of
strenuous.
A guy named LeBron James?
So let's pick the biggest freak outlier.
Have you heard of a guy named LeBron James?
He's missed time before.
He's pretty big, right? Probably put some. There's probably a little pressure on his joints.
Okay,
6'8", 270. I'd guess he.
Probably weighs more than Embiid too.
Exactly. You know how many games?
I don't know about that.
Here's what LeBron has done. Now, he's missed some games the last several years because of...
Oh, well, I hate him then.
What do they call that when you...
Load management.
Yeah.
I don't even... Don't.
But he did play in 71 games last year. 55, 56, 45 in the shortened year. 67, 55, 82, 74, 76, 69... 77, 76, the list goes on. The guys played in a total of 1,493 regular season games.
That's crazy that we're talking about him as the best ever.
He's also played in 287 playoff games.
Right, he's
an
outlier.
A total of 1,780 games.
Have you ever heard the word outlier?
Do you know what 1,780 games means?
Yeah,
that means he's played 21-plus full seasons.
Okay.
Of 82 games.
Sure. I don't know what point you're trying to make.
Do you understand it?
Yep.
You're on a roll.
What's the point he's trying to make?
He's trying to make the point that he plays all the time.
Okay, what's the point, though? We all know that. Anybody can go to Basketball Reference or Google or ESPN and look up his games played. Okay, what's the point? What point are you trying to make?
Well,
just say
ask
it.
Him.
I'm asking. Say it.
I'm saying I like guys who play.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, if you look at most of the guys,
when I tune into
the
opening night of the NBA, I want to see the players.
Sure. Well, most of the guys in the league play about 65 games.
Why is Kawhi Leonard missing opening night?
Because he's
hurt. In a brand new building. He's hurt. We've had 4 months of offseason. Were you ever hurt for opening night?
No.
Please.
Tell him.
So let's take the most extreme example one way and the most extreme example the other way, and then compare the two. How is anybody supposed to have an argument like that? Most of the players in the NBA play about 60 to 70 games. Big deal. Some don't. Some play more. Some play a lot less.
Look at LeBron over the course of his career.
Yeah, he's like most NBA players who play a majority of the games.
Well, I don't know. I don't understand how you can defend Kawhi Leonard.
Defend him from what? Being injured?
Yeah, if he's injured and out for a while, then that's fine.
He's out all the time.
He's not healthy.
Get me started with this, because this is why I don't watch the NBA. Is this load management? Blah blah blah. It drives me nuts. You guys get paid enough money to play, you play. People pay money to go watch these guys. You go on the road, you don't take a night off for load management when you got some 10-year-old who went out and spent all his money he made in the summer to buy a ticket to watch Embiid play, and he's taking the night off for load management. I think it's garbage.
Oh, I mean, I get it.
You can get it all you
I
want,
understand
but it's
what
garbage.
You're saying.
It's
I
garbage.
Don't think you should sit out very often.
You shouldn't sit out at all. If you can
did you
play,
play
you
an
play.
All? Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Now, wait a minute. How many games did the Thunder play back in the day?
Anywhere from 66 to 74, 72.
Did you play in all of them?
I played in every game unless I was injured, which means broken bone or something. I didn't take a night off in 14 years of playing. Not one.
Well, I think you're
there
supporting
no
my
load
position.
Management. There was no nothing. You played.
I think
and
he's
I
supporting
making,
my position.
I was making about $600 a week.
That much?
Oh, yeah. That was at the end
pretty
of my
good.
Career when,
wow.
I was a little better. It's $290 to start with, just so everybody knows.
That much?
Well, you made it work.
Oh, I mean, good. Congratulations.
Well, that's where you were going. You were. Go ahead. You guys talk.
What are you getting so fired up about?
This is what drives me nuts about
the NBA. I'm trying
to
support you.
Well, then I'm on your side.
Thank you. You play, man. You don't miss opening night, a brand new arena.
Like, it's his choice to miss opening night. Like, Coach Nog, I'm good. He's injured. What do you want?
If he's injured, you can't. Then I have to disagree.
If he's truly injured. I get kind of tired of the guy being injured, honestly.
Well, that seems like your problem, not his.
Maybe you
should examine what it is about you.
I want the stars
like
playing.
You're some manly like who you'd play about four games a year and then call it good.
Four games.
I mean, let's be real. This guy's a world class athlete, a future Hall of Famer, an NBA champion, multiple times. And he doesn't play enough, so I'm gonna sit here on my radio show in my air conditioned little studio and criticize. That's so weird. I don't think this is air conditioned, by the way. Maybe we should do something about that. Can you stop looking at your phone and do the show?
I got him, didn't I? That's a win for the host. When I can get you that angry.
Not angry, I'm annoyed.
That's anger.
No, it's not.
Annoyment is anger. And I'll never not believe it. Let's get to Jim 91.
It's old 80s. 80
old 80. Well, I've lost track.
I love that. A doctor's getting checked.
Yeah, Jim, okay. Turn your radio down.
I don't need anything. And gas is $2.69 here. But I do need gas. Okay. I'm a pretty scarce guy over this weekend, so go get your groceries. Goodbye.
Well,
leave this going.
Max, let's move on.
No.
You know, just when I thought our show couldn't get worse, after your ridiculous ranting.
I wanted to hear where that was going.
Jim was having, he was getting gas.
I know what he was doing. I wanted to hear the rest of it.
Somebody to go get groceries. I mean, that's how the world operates.
Do you think he pocket dialed us? We're probably the only number he has.
When I get gas, it's important that somebody gets groceries.
It makes a lot of sense to take care of both at the same time.
Well, that's what I do.
Well, that's what he
was doing. No question about it.
I wonder if he was going to Leakers.
Oh, they don't have gas.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't. Do they?
Well, maybe that's why he was getting gas to get there. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You never know.
We don't know for sure what Jim was doing.
Leakers sounding pretty good. It's chicken fried steak night.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh. There you go.
That got to you, didn't it?
No, I've already got dinner plans.
What are you doing?
I'm making dinner.
Okay.
What are you making?
I'm making some garlic butter shrimp and some bacon wrapped shrimp with a fried rice and roasted green beans.
Just why do you have to put a fancy title on everything? You're not putting any roast on the.
Yes, I am.
You're gonna. What are you gonna roast?
Not putting roast. He's roasting them.
That's how you make them.
It's an adjective.
You can roast the green beans. You could boil the green beans. You could fry the green beans.
Just say you're having.
Grill the green beans.
You're having green beans.
I'm gonna roast the green beans.
I don't need
salt and pepper on them, and then
that's it. Jeff knows they're pretty good.
I don't need the fancy descriptions.
I was going to invite you out tonight, but if you're doing something, then that's okay.
Oh, it's too bad. He's not going to be able to join you.
Well, David Michael Hahn and I are going to little old Chicago.
So he's inviting me. He's going with his buddy and as a tag-along.
No, I think the more the merrier.
Why aren't I invited?
Obvious reasons.
You're going to Leakers.
No, really. Why aren't I invited?
Do you want to come?
No, but why aren't I invited?
Woo. That's why.
Woo.
That's why right there.
Yeah, I might come now.
That's fine.
Well, really, I want to know why.
Which old Chicago are we going to?
Why David Michael Hahn wouldn't just say, hey, invite your dad. I'd like to hang with him.
Because he's 30 and you're 80? I don't know. That might be it. There's got to be something to that, generally. But
what do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
I don't know. What do you? Tell me what you mean by that. Can I not relate to a 30-year-old?
I wouldn't think that easily, no.
Well, how do I do this show?
Well, future Bob calls, lets us know how you're going to be soon, which should tell a lot of people how you are now.
You know, my wife's had a conversation with me about this kind of anti-aging thing.
She has?
Yes.
What has she said?
The way you dig in on it.
Really?
Yeah, the way you ridicule me.
What do you say to her?
She's not happy about
it. But what do you say to her?
I just tell him he's a jackass.
Tell her?
That you're a jackass. Oh.
See, that happens in my house, too. I don't like the way your dad talks
really?
To you. Yeah.
What do you tell her?
I say, it's just a show. Who cares?
And what'd she say?
She said, I know, but...
You know, we can't all be... We can't all be flowery and complimentary.
How boring would that be?
And loving. So we've tried to tell people numerous times that if this show... Jason?
Yes,
your
Bob.
Son played very well the other night. It was a real joy watching him.
It was such a pleasure that you came out to watch with us.
Really good.
It meant a lot to all the kids that were there.
Yeah, it was fun driving out to Mays. And
it was super
that would be
fantastic.
A good show. Let's do that for the rest of the
Jeff, that was that? A good. That's a good point, Jeff. Maybe we should.
Jeff, I really like your hat today.
Yeah, it's I like what sweaty, is that, a Cleveland Guardians hat?
It's an Indians hat back
They had a really good season.
Yeah, they suck.
No, they really, really, really had a good year. I was proud of them.
Thanks.
Nice show today.
Yeah, everybody's feeling good about it.
Stop it.
Well, is that the kind of show we want?
I couldn't do it for 2 hours. No way. Can't do it.
First of all, it's not in my nature.
Well, we know that.
Same.
And secondly,
it's in very few people's. Well, some.
Apparently, Jim is holding again. Let's see if we can make this work this time. Jim?
Hello?
What'd you get gas down to?
This gas here is $2.68.
That's impressive.
That's
what I thought you said.
On Mays Road.
All right. What can we do for you, Jim?
My point was, since I was 5 years old, I was told when the official score makes his decision and writes things down back in those days, you didn't argue with the official score. You got two kindergartners there that haven't learned, you know, how they conduct business in a sporting event.
That's exactly what I'm trying to point out, Jim. All they do is whine, man.
I can't believe Jeff and Max are kindergartners, but I guess they are.
Well, throw Max in because I got three kindergartners, Jim.
Oh,
well,
okay.
We have three kindergartners and one who has yet to conquer kindergarten math. But other than that, yes.
Jim, there they go again.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim, for pointing that out. And that's exactly right. And that's how people of my generation, a little older, look at this kind of whining. Like, we don't tolerate it.
What did Duda do?
I don't know.
Stick
that's
up for
best,
Duda in this one.
Thing.
He hasn't really said much about this.
Well, I'm throwing you. I'm lumping you in.
Happy days. I'll jump in there. I'm good with it.
I've known you to whine.
Yeah, well, you're wrong. Can't add.
Oh, now
there he goes.
Now, if you're lumping me in, I might as well get some shots in. While
that's true. That's fair.
Jim, great point.
I mean, you probably had the wrong glasses on when you're trying to write stuff down.
268 gas. I'd like to know that.
On Mays Road, he said.
There's also the QT is 268 at Tyler and Central.
I filled up for like 289 a couple days ago. Guess I should have waited.
Tyler and 13th, 268.
Yeah, you spent an extra $2.
Yeah. Well, I was down to 8 miles. I don't know if I would have made it two more days.
Okay, don't wait till it's down to 8 miles.
Getting gas is a pain, man. I don't ever know when to do it. I don't want to do it before work. I don't want to do it after radio. Because it's usually just get it after, between Channel 12 and here. It's usually when I get gas.
Have you ever thought to yourself that getting gas is a pain?
No, it just needs to be done, so you just do it.
Yeah, and I never. What a whine.
That sounds like something that you treat. That's a pain. Like, it just needs to be done, so you. That's a pain. Well, right? You don't say, hey, well, I like doing it.
It needs to be done.
It's the responsibility of life.
That's like getting your wisdom teeth pulled.
No, not at all.
No, that's what you'd say. Well, it needs to be done, so I'll do it, but it's a pain. That's. He just left that it's a pain part out of the sentence.
Not really.
Everything else he said was, yeah, it's a pain.
No, wisdom teeth only need to be pulled at the behest of a doctor.
Right, but if it needs to be done, then you go do it, right?
Gas you need to get periodically.
But it's still a pain.
Not to me. I've never felt like filling my gas tank. I'll be so glad when it's over.
I got to stop. I'm not going to be home the time that I wanted.
How does it take you to get gas?
I might be late to where I'm going.
Did Jim hit the nail on the head here, man?
Well, with somebody.
I mean, absolutely ridiculous. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, will join us at 2:45. Sunflower Showdown happening Saturday in Manhattan. We'll talk to Fitz about that. We've got picks in hour number two. Meanwhile, we've got a bunch of whiners here today that I'm going to try to corral.
Well, you're leading the charge, so maybe you should
haven't whined yet.
In your world, but I guess that's what happens at your age.
We'll be back. Monday through Friday. That's music is in the Still of the Night from Stevie Nicks. As we're playing music from women here on the show this week. Jason Duda in today, the three-man booth on a Thursday. We've got Minnesota in LA to face the Rams tonight. Minnesota giving 2.5. We're not picking the game, but let's pick it informally because this one gives me pause. Because Matthew Stafford. Thoughts?
Not because of Matthew Stafford. It's
no, it is because of Matthew Stafford.
In what way?
It
shouldn't be. It should be because
he's better than Sam Darnold.
Okay, but he's not if he doesn't have weapons. And the difference tonight is that they may have Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua back. That's what really should give you pause. Matt Stafford throwing to Tutu Atwell and DeMarcus Robinson, nothing. But if he has actual weapons out there, then yeah. But I still
think Jeff's wife's listening to this because
why? What I do?
He's making sense on this.
Well, yeah, but even so,
okay, I got to hear this.
Isn't it kind of irritating to hear him talk? Even though it makes some sense.
Some.
And I'll give him some credit for that.
Thank you. I appreciate
There's
it.
There's sense. Yeah, I get it. But just watching him.
I love when he backtracks. He doesn't backtrack his own point. He will reluctantly give credit to the other person's point.
Just watching him talk. I mean, doesn't that irritate you?
So basically, because he's sitting right there, it's irritating you.
You want me to go outside the room and keep making
something different.
I don't know if this mic stretches out there, but we can see.
Yeah, it'll stretch. It's a long mic cord.
Matthew,
but anyway.
Stafford's old. He's still pretty good, but you know, you need players around you to succeed.
I think I'd pick the Vikings.
I think I would too, but these Thursday games.
I don't know. I think the Vikings are going to come back down to earth. Now they can win this game tonight.
They had a really good defense.
And they hung with Detroit. And everybody thinks Detroit is like automatically the Super Bowl team in the NFC.
Well, Detroit's good.
They gave up some running yards against Detroit, but for the most part, that Minnesota defense has been very stout.
I don't know. I think the Rams probably win tonight.
You're picking the Rams.
I'm picking the Rams. I think if Cooper Kupp's playing, like Jeff said. Puka Nacua, they're saying they're not sure if he's going to play today. I'd actually be surprised since they just turned on the 21-day practice
window.
To play him 3 days after that, and he hasn't had a full practice yet, I highly doubt he plays tonight. Get through the week, then a full week of practice and have him back. But even with Cooper Kupp, that's going to open up things for Kyren Williams in the running game a little more because they're going to have to focus on Kupp. I'm not totally sold on Minnesota yet. I don't think their defense is that good.
Well, it's the best in the league.
I don't think Sam Darnold is that good. I'm going to go with the Rams tonight.
He has had...
That irritated me, too.
Rams for 10.
I don't think Minnesota's defense is that good.
Rams for 10.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you should have put it as a bonus game.
Now, I think now that you've put that out there, we should count that for you.
I think
no one else is picking. But if the Rams cover and win... Sure, I'll give you 10 points.
All right.
And if they don't?
No, I'm not.
I'm taking a 10 away.
That's fair.
I'm not.
That's a fair wager.
Are you the official scorer?
Yes, and according to Jim, that's all that matters. And
I've been an official scorer, and it is all that matters. However, you can file a written protest, and I think that's what Max has done by adding up the numbers accurately, is here's your written protest. So someone... above us has to settle that.
Who's that going to be?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I know it is.
Someone's going to have to go through all the records each week, see, really just start from scratch is what they're going to have to do. And that's not easy.
Well, I mean, we could just start all over right now, points.
That doesn't sound right.
Oh, this is the first time ever you've been in the lead and still you're whining.
Not whining.
Wouldn't you... Jim thinks it's whining.
Well, Jim thinks a lot. Jim's whining about gas prices.
Yeah, and he's worried about groceries, so he might be hungry, too.
There is that.
Oh, it could be just hangry. Got a little hangry going on.
Well, I don't like it when the guy in the lead is the one bitching the most.
That's not this at all. You know, if I want to win fairly, right? I'm not out here, you know, well, the referee didn't see it, so I'm going to bash this guy with a chair and get the pin and feel good about it. I'm a baby face. I'm the top baby face probably on KFH right now on the entire station. I'm probably the top good guy. And I want to win.
God, what an idiot.
Fair and square.
I mean, what an absolute.
You just went a hair too far there, kid.
Well, you're with him.
Not in this one. I told you earlier, if he said something really stupid, I might have to backtrack.
What does that even mean in the first play?
It means I want to win fairly. I'm not an underhanded guy. If my points are inaccurate, you know, I'm probably still winning, right? But I want to make sure that everyone gets their just due every time out.
That's so nice of you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you're not winning very much longer.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see if Duda gets... You know he's going to go 10 on his bonus.
What? You don't know that.
I'll bet you $1,000.
Okay, I'll take that bet.
Man, this is a tough game to go 10 on, although...
Is it?
To me, it is.
Is it?
It is a tough game to go 10 on. But Duda will.
I know where Jason is.
And he'll go 10 for K-State.
Of course he will.
And that's how that's going to roll.
You're stereotyping me now. I don't like that. That's just not fair.
KU has lost a lot of games where they've led late. It's like the Chiefs, and I don't want to give away too much of our thinking, but they're a 9.5-point favorite, and they rarely win by double digits. Did they beat New Orleans?
Yeah, but they're playing Vegas.
I know. Did they beat New Orleans
Vegas
by double digits?
Vegas is decimated. Mentally, physically, that franchise is just at its... rock bottom.
You think they'll be looking for a new coach after this year?
I don't know, but they can't get anything right. They just can't get anything right.
Well, they went into the season without a quarterback. What's that tell you?
Right.
I mean, they went into the season without a quarterback. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew are not going to win you many
games. You'll never do anything with those guys.
And then Devontae Adams, he was mad. He was, you could see last year he was disgruntled with everything. You knew something was going to happen there. I didn't see exactly that he was going to get traded right away or
look
he
at
had
the
a
Bears.
Hamstring problem, blah, blah, blah.
The Bears went for a quarterback. It didn't work out as well as they were hoping it would. They sent him along his way, and they got another quarterback. And now this guy, Caleb Williams,
it's not
looks
the first
like,
time that that has happened.
Looks well. Why don't the Raiders ever do it?
Well, they haven't. They haven't drafted in the right position.
Why don't they move up
to be able to do that? Because they're trying to win, but they're not good enough.
They're
to
not
win.
Good. Why don't they realize
so
they're not good enough?
So they go 7-10, or 8-9, or 10-7, and they draft in the middle
they
of the first
go
round.
8-9 or 10-7.
They were in the playoffs like 2 years ago.
Yeah, with Derek Carr.
Whatever it was.
Who's a serviceable mid-tier quarterback.
Right. But you're never going to.
They can't ever get anybody better than that.
Now they will. And we'll see who that potentially is.
They'll probably just take the fastest guy in the draft.
Well, maybe they'll.
Whoever the wide receiver is that runs the fastest, we're taking.
Well, maybe they'll take Travis Hunter or somebody like that from Colorado. But you'd think they're trying to bottom out to take a quarterback. Because you can't win without one. You can have 21 Travis Hunters. And if you have a bad quarterback, it's not going to work out for you.
Somewhere along the line in yesterday's show, Jeff thought, wow, I'm really, really good right now.
Yeah, I was pretty good yesterday. And, did you hear this show?
No. And now it's carried over to today. I can always tell when he has confidence.
This is expert analysis is what this is.
See what I mean?
The kid's feeling good. I can't blame him for that.
It's always easy to tell when he's feeling it. It doesn't make any more sense. It's not any more right.
It should.
But it's confidently presented. And if you can do that consistently, half of the audience will be out there going, I think Jeff's making a good point.
As they should. You know what Joe Walsh says? If you pretend like you know what you're doing, everybody thinks you do. So,
well, apparently you've gotten that message.
I sure have. And it's an accurate message.
Because this is total pretense.
Fake it till you fake it. You don't have to fake it until you make it. Faking it is making it.
Oh, he feels good about that. Look at him.
Right? How good was that, dude?
You know, I know this guy.
No,
like
you
the
don't.
Back of my hand.
I don't even know me like the back of my hand. I don't know how you could.
Even though he kind of screwed that up, that fake it until you make it, or whatever he said, he felt good about it.
As long as he's happy, he's feeling good, he's ready to go, hey, give the kid
probably going to play catch during the break.
Whoa, yeah,
life is beautiful right now.
It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Skinner texting me. This
Skinner?
Is
always,
my
he's
phone,
texting you.
My phone's
he has your cell phone number? That's a problem. You want to share?
I don't know. No.
He's asking you
to share it off the air.
Okay.
I don't know what it really even means.
I don't either.
Well, I'm sure he wants you to read it out loud, or otherwise he wouldn't have.
Or he could have called.
Well, he could call, but you never know if Skinner's near a phone or not. I mean, where he lives, let's just put it this way, not a lot of power lines.
I get
See,
it.
See, there we go. That's nothing. Talk about a guy who's feeling it, but shouldn't be.
That was brilliant.
It was?
Yeah.
I mean, you set it up for 10 minutes. Well, here this one is. Listen to this now. I'll put it this way. Phones, Skinnerd, I'll say it like this. No. Oh, now that's funny.
It wasn't even close, but the premise was correct.
So we don't have to be accurate now. We just throw a bunch of stuff out there. And this dummy laughs.
Well, why wouldn't he? He's an impartial observer.
And he becomes,
why not?
He becomes a barometer.
I am the
of
judge
whether
and
your
jury.
Stuff is working.
Exactly.
The judge and jury of this show.
As he, I mean, usually
that is
yes.
True.
Ridiculous.
Well, you're the official scorer, but I'm the judge.
What am I? The number one good guy. Let's take a break.
Yeah, you're the self-proclaimed good guy of all of KFH.
That's right.
Here's Tim Fitzgerald.
Some accuracy to that.
I don't need a comment. I'm making
okay.
Stadium.
Tim Fitzgerald joins us.
Here's Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com to join us as we break down the Kansas State game coming up Saturday in Manhattan. Fitz, how are you?
I'm good. It looks like we're going to have nice weather for a night game. It'll be awesome.
Finally, it's not going to be 95 degrees, I don't feel like, so it should be conducive to a good football game. KU seems to be playing a little better, especially offensively. They handled Houston with no problem. I thought there might be a problem. There wasn't. Are they getting better?
It appears so. And I think they're beginning to mesh offensively with the new system and the talent. And when that happens, they're going to be really, really fun to watch what we expected. I think they're turning into the team we expected at the start of the season. It's just been an unbelievable, strange start to the year for them. I just never have seen anything like it. And they're better than what their record says. I know that's kind of cliche, but this team really, really is. They got as good a talent as most teams in this conference, and they showed Houston that they're not messing around last week.
Do you wish they'd done it against any other team but Houston? I think in this version of the Big 12, just about any conference win is a meaningful win because, you know, you can move up or down the standings with in 1 week. But does Houston count for that still?
Well, ask TCU. They went in there and won. So Houston's shown they can do it. They're just in a first phases of a rebuild. They don't have a reliable quarterback. And these are the results you often get when you don't have reliable quarterback play and you're just not that good a team.
Fair enough.
Looking at this game, obviously, when it comes to these two teams playing, everybody's watching and paying attention here in Kansas. How do you see this game unfolding? Who has to do what in order to win it? Obviously, we're more worried about KU. What do they have to do to possibly win this game against K-State?
Well, I think whoever establishes their run game, including the quarterback run in this game, is going to be at a big advantage. And if you stop the other team, what are you committing in terms of resources to do so? So if a team can run the ball and keep some balance in their offense and take, you know, get the ball downfield, they're going to be in good shape. And KU's capable of that. The question becomes, can they take away Kansas State's run, including the quarterback run? And, you know, they probably are still having some nightmares for what happened with Garrett Green against KU. And Avery Johnson's an even bigger running threat who took last week off from running the ball so that he'd be healthy for this game, and that plan worked out. So it'll be interesting. To me, it's always about the line of scrimmage, but this game in particular, if you're not winning that line of scrimmage, you've got an uphill battle.
Talking now with Tim Fitzgerald, our frequent guest, publisher of GoPowerCat.com. Kansas State, Kansas, set for kickoff at 7 o'clock in Manhattan on Saturday night. Then K-State has before mentioned Houston, and then a bye. Arizona State finishes at home against Cincinnati and on the road at Iowa State. And what, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but
right,
as we look down that road, that game starts to stand out a little bit.
You know, this is so funny how a season plays out. You looked at this game as being monumental, and it is a big game, but we thought this would be a matchup of two top 20, if not 15 teams. And Houston we thought would be down, but, you know, then you thought Arizona State and Cincinnati, well, those are not easy wins, too. Well, those teams are both playing pretty well. Cincinnati's got a huge one this weekend at Colorado. And, of course, going to Iowa State is always a challenge, and doing so in late November. The weather will be probably better than last year's game in Manhattan, but it still will probably be a pretty cold night up there.
So you said KU is better than its record. That's probably fair. We've probably have figured out now that K-State is better than it's showing at BYU, and their offense has really picked up a lot from there. Avery Johnson is proving a lot as a passer. Whose learning curve do you think has been faster? Has K-State progressed at the same rate, do you think, as KU? And could that, how much of an edge might that give them?
Yeah, I mean, I think K-State's been improving since the Tulane game, and they improved within the realm of that game, almost losing that on the road, going up against a really good quarterback who was spreading the ball around the field, and they've kind of figured out they're a better team when they pressure the quarterback, and they've kind of carried that in. I don't think the BYU game is that reflective of Kansas State. It was one of those nights when things just went horribly wrong, but I'll say this. The way they've reacted to adversity since that game has been much more productive. And we saw it at Colorado. We saw it you know, the next week with, you know, Oklahoma State. We've just seen them respond to some of the same scenarios they faced at Brigham Young much differently. And I think that's been a really big growth for this team. But you go back early in the season, if you could limit K-State's running game and make Avery beat you with his arm, you might win that game. Last week, he absolutely torched West Virginia. That accomplished slowing down DJ Giddens. And as I mentioned, he wasn't running the ball. So it was a game where K-State needed to win with his pass, and they did. And I think that's a sign of the whole team growing, let alone Avery Johnson.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me to my question. I was just curious on how you've thought the development of Avery Johnson has been. Obviously, here went to Mays.
Yep.
How do you think he's progressed here as a sophomore and been the man? He's been the quarterback. He is the quarterback. There's no question there. How do you think he's handling it, and where do you think he's at in his progression?
Yeah, these back-to-back road wins, first at Colorado, which was a significant challenge. He had to make a big play at the end to get it done, and he did. And then you go down, and as I said, he was a pocket passer essentially last Saturday. He had to elude like one or two pass rushes, really didn't get touched that often, didn't get tackled the entire game, and he turned into a pocket passer that can absolutely slice you apart, made some really pretty throws. And this kid's still just scratching the surface. There's so much he can develop into, and we haven't seen the full ability of him to throw the ball and run the ball. But I think, you know, that well could be on display Saturday. We'll find out. But I know he's intending on being a big part of the running game with DJ Giddens and Dylan Edwards. And if that all comes to fruition, Avery Johnson is going to be an elite quarterback. He's just kind of got to grow his way into it, but he's getting there.
Tim Fitzgerald with us, GoPowerCat.com. Talk some about the defense here, because it's been really good all season long, and we always spend our time talking about Giddens and Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards, and I feel like we slight the defense to some degree. Tell us about some of those stalwarts who are playing so well.
Well, Brendan Mott at defensive end, you know, 2 years ago he was the other guy that got single teamed because Felix Anjudike Uzomah was so dominant on the other end. And last season, he was the top returning sack collector in the Big 12, which kind of slipped by people. He wasn't quite as good last year. He has been absolutely dominant this season, even catching double teams. He plays with a high motor and really finishes off sacks and pressures to the point where quarterbacks just surrender and throw the ball away. The linebackers have been elite. Austin Romaine at middle linebacker is a totally different player than a year ago. He's turned into a really good true sophomore linebacker. And on the back end, they've got some really nice pieces. The back end's probably been a little bit more mistake-prone than the front end, but they stop the run, they force teams to throw, and then the back end of the defense has been good enough to bottle things up. Kansas State's given up three 300-yard passers this year and won all three games because they limit the actual explosive plays, and they also do a good job of tackling after the catch. And that'll be something they have to replicate on Saturday.
What has it been like for you to cover the Big 12 at 16 teams? It's not my job, but to me it's like almost overwhelming because you have six teams at 3-1 or better, and you want to think like, okay, well, they'll probably play some combination of the same teams, but it's not the case. So I have to go, look, who does this team have left? Who's this team? And it's just like, where does it even – how do you go about it? It seems like extremely impossible sometimes.
It is, man. It's hard to follow. And think about how upside down this conference is. We thought Arizona State and BYU would be the two worst teams. Well, BYU might be the best team, and Arizona State's up there. Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State, they're all down and towards the bottom. Arizona, we thought those would be in the upper tier. So that's been the confusion, is trying to sort out who's really good and who's just played well and who's, you know, who's bad. I've come to the conclusion Utah is indeed bad. You just don't know what's coming every week. It's been really hard. And most of all, I think all of us who travel, whether it's parents, media, or the players and coaches, this conference is a real challenge. I mean, K-State played a Big 12 after dark game, kicking at around 9:30 Central last week at Colorado. They turn around this most previous weekend and head to West Virginia for 6:30 game Central time. They get back, and now they have a 7 o'clock game. I think that's what's been really interesting is the number of night games the Big 12's playing. They've actually had some really conducive time slots and platforms, network platforms, to pull some decent ratings. I think that surprised me. But, boy, you just better put your travel britches on in this conference because you're going to be going all over the place.
Do you think that, you know, and we're talking, obviously, with teams can beat anybody in this conference. How do you see the BCS rolling out with this? Are we going to get a couple teams? Is it just going to be one?
Yeah. CFP.
Or the CFP, sorry. How do you think that's going to play out with the Big 12? How many teams do you think are going to get a chance? Because they're going to beat each other up throughout the years, and you know how that's going to work. If you got three losses or two losses and the SEC has two losses, you're not going to get it.
Right. Right. It's like arguing with your wife. You can't agree, so you lose.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm glad I'm not alone.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But back to Jeff's point, the schedules are unbalanced. You look at BYU, if they win this weekend at UCF, they should be undefeated. Again, like you said, anyone can get you, and they almost got by Oklahoma State last weekend. But you look at Iowa State, they should win out until Kansas State goes up there. And on paper, Kansas State should win out until they go to Iowa State. So here's the best-case scenario for this to go down. Kansas State, Iowa State go unbeaten until they meet in Ames. Colorado goes unbeaten and ends up 10-2, and that might be important. And you got BYU cruising through the conference. They go 12-0. Well, you're going to have an 11-1 team playing a 12-0 team for the conference championship. Particularly BYU is the loser. How do you turn them down at 12-1? And with that said, whoever loses, if Iowa State loses to Kansas State, they're 11-1. That's a hard sell not to, if they're in the top 15. And oh yeah, Colorado. Guys, I'm telling you, if that program rattles off 5 wins here to close the season, they will be in the top 15 of the rankings, and you better believe ESPN is going to want them in the playoff because of those television ratings. I think the Big 12 is in a really strong position as long as those four leaders continue to emerge and separate from the rest of the pack.
Good stuff as always. I wanted to get to basketball. You think football is jumbled? Wait till we get to basketball season.
Oh,
but we'll put that off for the next time we talk to you, Fitz.
Okay, boys. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. As always, Tim Fitzgerald, publisher, gopowercat.com, all your K-State news in one place. We'll be back, hour number two. Notice how Jeff corrected you on BCS and jumped right in there.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is that all right?
Doesn't bother me.
It's okay.
I don't mind if I accidentally said something that wasn't quite right.
Well, they discontinued the BCS in 1981.
Well, yeah.
Otherwise, you did fine.
It just came out there. I'm old. I got concussions.
There you go. We'll be back.